Hello. Hey, he's here already. So I'm Isabella, and how are you guys tonight? I get to interview Captain Smirk tonight. I don't know if you have followed him or know who the heck he is or know who the heck I am, but he kept a log for a whole year and on Twitter during the pandemic, and I just think that there's a story in his story. So I invited him to come on to the podcast so that we could chat and have a conversation. So that we could chat. I wish that music faded out. I say that every time. How is everybody? I'm going to do my normal awkward thing. So Captain Smirk, I see that you're here. All you have to do is hit that chat head and you can call in and then I answer your call. It's pretty easily. Hopefully I had it together and I told you that you need earbuds and a mic on your phone so that you can call in. Hello, can you hear me? Almost. Right,
there we go.
There we go. Hi.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going very good. Well, you sound just the same on live stream as you do on your videos. I don't know why I always expected that to be different.
You never know. It could always be a little different, I guess, but
I kind of did. I get to talk to people all over the world. And so I'm getting into a terrible habit. You just should have some kind of weird accent. Well, not weird, but different. You're east of me. I'm in the Pacific and you're east. So therefore, why don't you have a Southern accent? Where's that?
I don't know. I'm in Missouri.
See?
I grew up here. I'm in Southwest Missouri, but it's like there's different. I don't know. There's different sections of Missouri where there definitely is a real Southern accent. My ex-wife is from the Boot Hill of Missouri, and it's a whole different language down there. It's just a whole different accent down there. It's like I've had some like buddies of mine that they grew up in a town called East Prairie, Missouri. And they just kind of talk like that all the time. It was weird getting to know those guys and trying to figure out.
But you lucked out. You sound like you're. There's a little bit, a tiny bit of Southern, but you could be from California, and I wouldn't know.
I have a slight one sometimes, and it comes out on different words. I try not to sound like too Southern, but it happens from time to time.
It happens from time to time. Does alcohol make it worse? Just wondering.
No, I'm just curious. I don't drink at all.
You don't drink at all?
No.
So it doesn't even factor in. Well, there you go. No. When I drink, I just laugh more. So, and I don't drink very often. So it's even worse.
No, it was, I grew up in, the Bible Belt, and I grew up in a really, I wouldn't say like super strict Christian household, but it was definitely one of those that was like, we don't drink at all. And it just kind of like, I don't know. I just never started drinking. So it's never a thing.
Oh yeah. My family did. And that's why I don't. That's why I don't. There you go. That's my answer. Addiction, lots of addiction. Yeah, no, that's why I don't right there. That's part of your story though. So I really want to know, you started using the Periscope feature on Twitter and doing your daily logs. And a year ago, I saw that. I saw your last one. I went back and I looked and I'm like, oh, I'm almost getting teary here. I didn't even see half of them, but I'm getting teary because it has been a year. He did this. You did it every day.
Well, I mean, they're towards the end. I noticed like, I finally moved into my own place like in July, and I noticed that, I don't know, my days just were the same every day. And it was just boring. So I didn't do them every day, but I'd like, I tried to do one at least once a week there for a while.
Yeah, they were really close.
Like 100 I probably did 150 straight days. I can't remember.
Oh,
It was
that's
tough. It was kind of tough, and the I don't know. I just don't want to. I don't want to be. I feel personally that I am boring, and I don't want to bore anyone else.
Yeah, they're not very
So
long.
no, no.
It's not like you go into you just sit down and my favorite ones, the ones that I saw, the kids in the background, I identify, or the noise of the kids in the background. I have four. They're older now, but it doesn't really matter. They're if they know they can make noise, they're going to make noise, or their friends come over and make noise. And so they're in their 20s, still make noise, tons of noise. So it doesn't really matter. But yeah, and then I kind of want to know a little bit about that. How much of that journey, how much of your personal life, because I didn't see everything, did you share? I know you said you got divorced in that time, so did I, but I wasn't logging it. And I only talked about it on my personal life a couple times on my podcast just because I felt like my behavior's changing and I really feel like I need to explain some of this.
Well,
So,
like
and yours has too, because the last year you were not on any OnlyFans.
no, yeah, lots changed over the last year. For me, I started doing the logs because, like, well, I mean, it was the beginning. I work in healthcare a little bit, not one-on-one with patients. I work in behind the scenes in healthcare, and so it was I was my job was kind of stressing me out. I was getting ready to go through the divorce, and I knowing my friends the way I did, I knew that they weren't going to take my side in the divorce. So so I was losing my friends, and I was really
Oh.
lonely. And so I just started, talking about, my day-to-day stuff, because it was just like I was lonely, I was kind of bored, and I was stressed out, and it just be kind of became a daily thing. I did the captain's log thing because it was doing a joke about Star Trek, because I was
Yes,
thinking,
very
like,
much Star Trek-y.
and I'm not
I
I
mean,
was
your chair
there.
looked different and everything, but no, you got that feel.
Yeah, it's like I'm more of a Star Wars person than a Star Trek person, but I like the captain's log day, whatever, trying to channel my inner Shatner. But
If we all have an inner Shatner. No, I don't.
I'm sure some of us do, but
I couldn't do anything consistently if you if you paid me. I mean, barely. I'm just not that type of personality. So that's another thing that fascinates me about being able to even hitting it once a week or going 100 days in a row or whatever. So when you first got on Twitter, had you had any experience? I mean, first started your log, had you had any experience interacting on Twitter, or were you just like, I'm just gonna do this and see what happens?
Well, I by the time I started the log, I had been on Twitter about with this account, I had been on Twitter about a year and a half. So I had interacted with people before, and I mean, it was just kind of it was totally by accident. I don't know how I started to gain a following. It was just it feels like it was just completely random. Like I posted a selfie or something on a big account's selfie call, and all of a sudden I started gaining followers, and then it ended up being and then it ended up being a thing where somebody goes, "Hey, do you want to be in a have you ever been in a DM room?" And I was like, "No." And they're like, "Do you want to be?" And I was like, "Why not?" And then I gained followers that way, and it's just kind of snowballed. But by the time I had started the log, I did have a pretty good following. I had interacted with a lot of people, but I was surprised by the messages, the DMs I got from people that are like, "Hey, I really love those logs. Keep doing them. They're helping me in some." People saying, "Oh, they're really helping me I'm glad I'm not alone, stuff like that. So
Yeah.
that felt really nice, especially.
I'm sure it did.
But
That's
last
a really
summer is like,
positive. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Last
well, I was gonna
summer.
say, it's like last summer I was like really busy coaching baseball and stuff, and so I had stuff to talk about last summer, but by the time I moved to my own place and I was by myself, like literally all day in my apartment, I had less and less stuff to talk about. And it was
Yeah.
just like, and I had like a weird, when I started the log, I kind of got banished to the basement. And so we had this home theater room in the basement of our old house. And so I was pretty much just living in that theater room and watching movies after the kids went to bed. So that was my life, was try to be normal till the kids went to bed. And then I went down to my banishment room and watched movies.
Your
So,
banishment room. Oh
yeah.
gosh. Yeah, but how many people? I'm sure men and women. I mean, my marriage, it had a lot less to do with the pandemic than a couple other things than my time. I'm 51, and it had a lot more to do with my age change and some other things than it did with the actual being trapped together in a house.
It's like
So
ours was kind of the same way. It's like it was a lot of there's like years of build up to,
yeah,
when you
exactly.
get to a point where it's like you, for me, it was, I would come home and I would be like, I want to go back to work. It's like, I cannot. It's like
That's a
that
warning sign
thought.
right there in any kind of any relationship. You
Yeah. It's like,
don't
I would
want
love to be anywhere but here right now. And I feel
Yeah.
like that's pretty unhealthy.
Yeah, that's very unhealthy. Yeah. I was spending all my time in my bedroom writing. And yeah, and so I wasn't in a basement. I just had taken over the master bedroom and was just in there. And yeah, and it was just yeah, and that was even before. I was doing that way before the pandemic. So I totally get you on that. And but then you're in that transition of that time where you can't do anything. Life slowed down so much. And did you battle things like depression and all of that during that whole time? You're like just watching. It was I because I remember there were several logs that were what the movie was, and maybe a little bit movie commentary for the night, and you
Yeah.
know.
No, it's I definitely think so. I definitely think I battled some depression there really hard. Because I've always thought of myself as maybe being a little bit of an introvert, but the pandemic and having to stay inside and not go anywhere, that just it kind of made me realize that I am way more extroverted than I thought I was. And
Yeah.
I still miss my friends. I miss a lot of people. But yeah, I mean, it was hard. It was really hard at first, but now it's kind of like, in Missouri, Missouri might as well be just completely open for business. I mean,
Oh, good.
there's not a pandemic at all. People, I will say this, the city I live in, it's very rare to see someone without a mask. But you still see people in Walmart and or wherever walking around without a mask on, and it just drives me up the wall. But
Yeah, I
it drives
bet.
me up
I
the wall.
bet. I'm in Reno. It's still mandated here. You can't go in any of the stores or anything. You can be outside, but you can't go any of the stores where that or restaurants or where. Well, you can sit and eat, I guess, but you can't sit and gamble. Even the bartender had a mask on. Yeah, I totally get that, and I'm sure some of that isolation, that's probably what people were responding to. They're
Oh
like,
yeah.
yeah. Clicking in with your story of here you are doing this, and oh gosh, I'm not alone. That must have been, yeah, I can see where that you made a lot of connections that way.
I had a lot of people.
That,
Oh, go ahead. You go ahead. Sorry.
no, go ahead. I mean, it's neat that people would come up. So, Twitter DMs are such a, it's a big conversation on the show all the time because, there's a, the, the dick pic and then the female version of the dick pic. I'm sure you got both, actually.
But here's the thing, like, most of the women that DM me don't really, come, full on, here, look at this. No,
even with the fleets and everything, you're still not getting
sometimes,
that?
Sometimes they do, but not as often as one would think. It's mostly everybody, like, with the fleets, I get, like, you can react to the fleets.
Yeah.
So I'll get a lot of reactions and stuff like that. And I always, maybe say thank you or whatever. And, I try to be polite and, but most women aren't as, I know that guys are very forward and it's like, and they'll send a dick pic. I don't usually do that until it's like, I'll say, I told somebody something like, I'm not going to be the unsolicited dick in the fleets and I'm not going to. You need to ask for it.
That's funny. There's a I can't remember the account. I follow him. It's actually a guy who illustrates his privates and puts it in different situations. It's pretty hilarious. Now, if somebody sent that, I don't know. But I mean, he's making a book. He's got a little happy face and arms and they're all different. It's pretty hilarious. His whole penis goes on all kinds of adventures, and
I'm glad somebody's here.
Well, he's been pretty lonely. I don't know. I don't think he got the same feeling from the hot dog bun that he would have gotten from, but this guy, but the account gets lost in my Twitter feed because it's not really something I want to bookmark because when you're scrolling, it's just like, oh, I forgot about that. I have to be prepared. I have to be in the mindset for that.
You set up the notifications. That way you can see them whenever.
Oh, good Lord. Yeah, then they just pop up. And But that's the different kind of, different kind of hello, because that's his whole thing. Yeah. That's his shtick. But most, in general, most women don't want to be greeted with that appendage first. But no, I have talked to enough people to know that there actually are aggressive women out there. So you've lucked out. I don't know. You stay on the OnlyFans long enough and it might change. So what was that progression? How did you end up? That's another question.
That's a good question. Mainly
because that's a lot of growth. I mean, that's a lot of to exposing yourself, to sharing that part of yourself, sharing your skin online. That's a massive thing.
I mean,
is it body positivity for you, like women say, or what?
I don't know. I kind of felt like I'm 41. I feel like I've never looked better. I work out 5 days a week. I feel pretty good about the way I look. And I had a lot of encouragement from Twitter females. And, I was like, there's one woman in particular is like, you have got to start an OnlyFans. It's like, I don't know. But then I kind of thought, well, there's nothing to freaking stop me. And it's like, why not? And I actually started dating, a woman, and she also had an OnlyFans, and she was like, you should totally start one. And I'm like, okay, why not? And for me, it's like, my goal essentially was if I could get like 10 subscribers, I'll be pretty happy with that. And I think I've got like 25 or 26 right now. And so I was like, oh, that's way better than I thought it was going to be. So, and it is kind of fun.
But I interviewed a woman who does OnlyFans, and she just started because she does cosplay, and some of her cosplay was pretty sexy. And she said she's married, and her husband knows and actually helps pick out her costumes sometimes and different things. And so, and she'll ask him, you know, for information, kind of do research with him. They have a really great relationship. But anyway, she has said it's been very fun, and that it has been, you know, everybody that follows her knows she's married, and that it has been a very ego boosting kind of experience for her. And she's made friends. It's not been, you know, that it's been, I haven't talked to her in a while, but her name is Lexi. She's just, we had a fun time. but yeah, she, yeah, that it had been really positive. And I liked hearing that. I liked hearing that, you know, that it had been, boosting and positive, and that there's some interaction, and if people want to pay a little bit of money for your time, oh good Lord, yes, you know, you know, and I can see that, as long as they know your status and everything is all, you know, you're not pretending to be some single babe or and every subscriber is your future lover, you know.
Well, my girlfriend, she has said that, you know, she's like, you know, that most of the men that follow her on, we roughly have about the same amount of following on OnlyFans, that she's like, literally every dude on there wants to kind of quote, take her away from
save her
thing. And it's, and she's like, hey, listen, I make my own money, I'm just doing this for fun, and you know, and whatever, but yeah, it's like I kind of anticipated having more like male followers on OnlyFans, but it's mostly females, which kind of surprises me, but yeah, it's a lot of fun, and it is definitely ego boosting. For sure.
I have a friend, Johnny, who does it more professionally, and he does have quite a few male followers. He has female followers too, but he talks about his gay fans all the time. It's like, I love them. They are my bread and butter.
Yeah, there's one guy that was like, that he had contacted me. He had, I can't remember why it was he had contacted me, but he was just like, hey, you know, he's like, I'm not gay or anything, but I have an OnlyFans. And he goes, gay guys are really generous. And I'm like, well, it's like, that's nice. But I actually reached it because it's like I've been getting like requests for like personal videos and stuff like that. I need to figure out what I'm going to charge for that. And it's like, I don't want it. Because for me, it's like, I don't – like there was – it's like, I can't remember what. Oh, my price point is like $5 a month or whatever. And like, I've had multiple people like, you know, you're charging way too low. It needs to be more than that. And it's like, eh, I don't know. I feel like I'm worth $5 a month maybe, but.
You're worth $5 a month.
Yeah. It's like any more than that. It's like, I feel like I'm ripping somebody off.
I don't want this to make me feel guilty.
We're just having fun here. And,
you know. You're buying me a beer, basically. So
yeah.
Sure. Yeah, if you drink, but you know, it's kind of the same kind of concept. Just going out and somebody's spending time and just sharing a little bit of your personal life. And I think the way OnlyFans has taken off during the pandemic has been a really fascinating, interesting thing. Definitely. Hold on. Yeah. So are you going to continue? You're going to figure out your price points. Are you going to continue doing that do you have any, is it just a lark? What are your plans?
I don't know. It's just kind of, I don't know. As long as I'm having fun doing it, I'm going to keep doing it. And if it stops becoming fun and if it's not fun anymore or I get tired of doing it, which is a total possibility. But, right now I'm having fun doing it, and I felt bad today. Like I got vaccinated yesterday, And I got the J&J shot, so it's only one. But
Oh, good.
holy cow, they are
Uh-oh.
not fooling around when they say flu-like symptoms. I mean,
Oh.
last night I was just I had chills, I was achy, and I just posted like a picture today. I feel kind of bad about just doing a picture today, but holy cow, I felt like crap
Oh,
all
well, you
day. So
know.
it's I forgot where I was going with that. But yeah,
No, you know.
as long as but as long as it's as long as it keeps being fun, and as long as it's like yeah, as long as, I mean,
A
as long as
positive
you
thing, you'll just keep it up. It'll be your new log. Do you post every day?
I post every day. Yeah,
You do
I try
post every
to.
day. So I wanted to ask too about the music. Were you in a band? Your music. I saw you playing and I'm like, oh, look, he's playing the bass. Oh, what's happening here?
My brother, and I started a band. The band called we call ourselves the Goats. It's a stupid name. I mean,
The
the story behind it's even dumber. So,
Yeah,
I'll tell the story behind it here in a second.
I'm
But
gonna
like
need this. Oh.
but we it was me and my brother and a rotating cast of characters, but mainly it's just me and my brother. Normally, I play guitar and do the lead singing, and he plays the lead guitar and does backup singing. But since we've had our bassist is kind of let's say I'll don't be nice about it. He's difficult. And he decided he didn't want to play covers and wanted to do original stuff, and so he didn't want to play with us anymore. So I took over playing bass and singing, which is a lot more difficult than one would think. So it's three of us. It's my brother, me, and our buddy Justin on drums, and we play here and there. Nothing real crazy or serious, but I mean, now that things are starting to open up, I think we're going to try to get some gigs
That
again,
would be
which would be
something
great.
you could put on. Well, I mean, you'd want to put that out, but it would be a neat thing to have on OnlyFans too. Are you, what kind of music? Oh, go ahead, answer that.
I was like I put I've actually done a couple one of my favorite bands broke up a few it was about a month ago, and it really kind of bummed me out because I love them. I've done like a I played a cover of one of their songs and posted it on OnlyFans. I've done that, and at least one person's like, I want more of these, and so I'm probably do some more of those.
Oh,
But
I'm
that, I mean, it
sure you
doesn't all have to
will.
be. It doesn't ha have to be all sex all the time. It can be other things, I guess. But that one, but stuff like that, it's like, 'cause I'm not a great guitar player. And that's definitely a much more somehow that is more vulnerable to me than just posting naked pictures of myself. So,
Oh, being on
yeah.
a, well, you want to do it well then. And yeah. It's probably one of those anything art things you tend to really share yourself when you're doing any kind of art thing, I think. So that's so okay, so you've got the band, you're doing OnlyFans, you're on Twitter, and you told me you're gonna podcast too. So tell me.
I want to do it. It's still in the we're still in the we're still talking about it. My brother and I want to do a movie podcast where we talk about, because I'm a big movie nerd, and my brother and I keep and curate a list of our top 100 movies, and every few years we redo it to see how it's changed. Because I mean, because like sometimes like some movies become more important to you over the passage of time. Like one of those movies for me is Fantastic Mr. Fox. And that movie, yeah, I mean, it was one that was like it started out in the mid-80s, but now it's like it's in my top 20 all
Really?
time. Yes. Yeah, it's and it's I
I want
can't
to
I
know
can't
why.
Well, I think it's been for me, it's like one of those, it's like, you had kids and you know how
Yes.
when they get on a thing and they stay on that thing for like, forever. And it was one of those that's like, how they watch the same thing every day. Well, like that was one of those movies. I was like, this is an adult movie. This is a movie for adults, but it's still, appropriate for children. And we wa it was one of those we showed them to the showed it to the kids, and there we probably there was one time because I started keeping track of it because that's what I do. I'm a nerd. But there we probably watched that movie for 65 straight days, at least once a day, because it was one that we could get home from the babysitter or whatever, and all of a sudden it was, it was in the DVD player. They were watching it. They were quiet for 90 minutes. It was just, yeah. But it's one of those, like, it's one of those, the more you watch it, you see little things in the back, like in the background, where it's like, oh my gosh, somebody, because it's stop motion animation. And for me, it was like, oh my gosh, somebody took the time to put this little thing in the background that not everybody's going to catch, but if you catch it, it's like a little miracle. And I don't know, that movie's just really sweet and charming, and it's grown on me over the passage of time. And so it's like it's kind of fun. Like another one for me is like Thor Ragnarok. It's like that one, like shot straight up. It's in my top 20 all time now. It's like, but it's not like. For me, my list is like this is these are the greatest movies ever. It's like these are my movies. These are the ones that it's like if you know me, you will see why it is where it is.
Your movies
So
are like time capsules. The
yeah,
way
they can be.
you're like you okay, this is what was happening at this time during this movie. This is why it was funny to me, or why it meant something to me. This is how I relate to it. Is your brother like that? Does he time capsule his movies too?
He's a little bit different. It's like my brother and I, we are so similar in so many ways. And then there's little things where it's like we have hills that we are going to die on. Like for me, his is how, and this is, and so like for me, Lord of the Rings, the extended edition, those are, that's one that's really big for me. And my brother is just like, I'm never going to watch them. They're boring. Funny thing, they're all on my top 50 list.
So is he gonna have to watch them
Oh,
then? Do you
he is going to have to watch them. I'm going to make him watch them. So that I've kind of tricked him that way. And but like he's a little bit like that sometimes. It's like I don't know. It's like we're similar, but we're different enough that we can have some pretty good arguments and disagreements about certain things. But I've noticed that over time he's come around on some things. Like I one of our musical differences is the band Oasis. I love Oasis. He used to hate Oasis, but here lately he's kind of come around. He's like, man, those first two albums are really good. And it's like, I know. I've been telling you.
telling you for how many years?
Yeah, 25 years. But another thing, you were talking about movies being time capsules. Like a movie for me that I watched like 20 years ago, The Royal Tenenbaums. I
Oh,
watched it
yeah.
20 watched it 20 years ago, and I was like, I don't like this. I watch it now, and it's like, gosh, that is a good movie. That is well made, and it's a. I mean, it's. I don't know. It hits different when you're older, I guess. And like a friend of mine, I told him about it. I said, "Hey, you need to watch this movie," and I was like, "And then in 20 years, you need to watch it again because it's gonna be different. It's gonna hit you different." And he's like, he watched it, and he was like, "Yeah, that's pretty good." And I was like, "Yeah, just watch it in 20 years when you've had kids and everything, and it's like it'll hit different.
That makes me
I
think there's a
promise."
Steve Martin movie called Parenthood.
Yeah.
Parenthood one. I haven't seen that since I was a teenager. I should watch that again. I wonder if it's going to hit different. It used to, it was
I
on, I don't, we had cable and I must have seen it 40 times, whether I wanted to or not. So.
That one, I guarantee that one will hit different. I
I haven't
guarantee
seen
it.
it. No, I've had my kids and I've raised them and I'm on the other side of
So just thinking about it now, I know it would hit different. It's like I've
Yeah,
seen
there
it.
are
I haven't seen it
moments
in years, but I know. Excuse
moments
me.
in that that I remember pretty distinctly what watching. Now I've raised teenage boys, and I'm like, oh, and girl, and my daughter's gonna be seven is 17. So yeah, that'll be that. I need to watch that movie again. And there are other, yeah, some others, but time capsule movies for me, like, oh, I'm a little bit older than you, so all the John Hughes movies, and are massive time capsule movies for me. 16 Candles, all those kind of movies. But that's neat, fabulous, Mr. Fox. I love that. I think it would be Toy Story and Up, I guess. Up is a, there. It just depends. But my kids, they watch weird movies. They watch things like when they were young, we always watched, oh yeah, we'd get videos and the things that they'd watch and memorize over and over, and that they pull out now that they remember, that always shocks me. I'm like, oh, you remember watching that? Mom, we watched it for like a year straight.
Well, it's like the things that like I mean, I grew up in a conservative Christian household, but my parents let us watch so much stuff that I would never let my kids watch. Like we were, but the thing was like the movie Major League. My brother and I were watching that. I was probably 12 or whatever. It's a rated R movie. And it's like I was 12, my brother was 10, and my parents let us watch it because we like baseball. And it's like Smokey and the Bandit. There is no reason anybody under the age of like 15 should have been watching that. My brother and I grew up watching that movie. And it's kind of like our parents' fault because we used to, during our summers, we would stay at my grandpa's. He was kind of our babysitter, and it was kind of one of those things like we were serving a purpose, and he was serving a purpose. It's like he needed something to do, and he had because he had had a brain injury and was not he really wasn't himself, and so they were like they kind of like let us go stay with him, and he could watch us, and we could watch him too to make sure he wasn't doing anything crazy. Well, we were doing that during the summers. Well, what we would do is, my brother and I would play wiffle ball all day if you would let us. And when we would have like baseball games during the summer, our parents would be like, "Listen, you guys have games tonight. You cannot play wiffle ball all day." And so, we just had to stay in the afternoons and watched the same movies over and over again. One of those movies was Smokey and the Bandit. There's no reason we should have been watching that, but that was one that we watched, and my brother and I still quote it. We love it, and it's weird.
Smokey and
Should not have been watching that.
the Bandit. Burt Reynolds, right? Is that
But the main reason you can't watch is Jackie Gleason was so just vulgar. It's just like
in every way, shape, or form?
every way, and it's like his first scene, he tells people not to play with themselves by their high by his highway, and it's like of course when I'm the tender age of like 12 or whatever, I don't really know what that means, but and like but him like the way he talks to his son in that, it's just I can really, I mean, it's like there's so many times I want to talk to my sons that way, but
I
I
didn't
couldn't.
like it because of him. He was so belligerent. I don't know when we saw them. I must have been young. I must have been. My dad was. Back then, you could go to the drive-through and you fill up the car, and you only pay for the car. So we'd go to the drive-through, and then if you go late, you'd get to watch three movies, and they were never, kid movies. So,
No.
so I
But
remember seeing them, but he was so belligerent. It may I didn't mind
it's
Burt,
like it
Burt
also
Reynolds getting away from him. I like that part.
Well,
The
it's like
race, he's
like
winning
there's that
the race.
scene where his son's hat flies off. He's like, "Daddy, I lost my hat." And he's like, "I wish your goddamn head was in it." And it's just like, just so he's just so awful. So awful to his son. But I mean, granted, his son was an idiot, but it's like, oh. But yeah, there's no reason. I'm trying to think of another one that we should have. But that was one of them. Smokey and the Bandit, Major League. Probably shouldn't
Major
have been
League.
watching all those. But
No, probably not. What? Oh, the baseball one with Bad News Bears.
that, you
That
know
was
what?
for
That's the.
kid, but it wasn't.
Yeah, I've never seen the original one of that.
You've never
As a
seen the original
baseball.
Bad News Bears?
Never.
Oh.
As a baseball guy, I should have, but no, I didn't do. Yeah, I didn't never seen that one. Never seen
Oh
that one.
dear, I don't know. So, how old? What's your age difference between you and your brother?
We're just 2 years apart. We grew
2 years
up,
apart.
yeah, 2 years apart. So
Are
it's
you
kind
the
of
only
one of the.
two in the family? Is that why you're so close, or?
Yeah, it's we're close because like I think the big reason we're close is because he and I were both in marching band and stuff in high school, and I was friends with some drummers. My brother was a drummer, and so we just kind of shared the same friend group. And so whenever I got my driver's license, my mom and dad were like, "If you're going out, you're taking your brother with you." And so
Oh,
I yeah. And so I had to take my brother with me everywhere I went. So we grew up having the same friends, and therefore we shared a lot of the same experiences. And so we bonded over that, and we've always just been close. And it's like we've always had a fairly close family, until our mom passed away, and then it was just kind of like it kind of like broke apart. But so he's really the only family I have left. So we stay pretty close.
I understand. My dad's mother, my grandmother, she was very much a matriarch. She had three sons, and when she passed away, everything, it was like a major shift. The holidays change, the communication changes, because everything, she's the son, and they all revolve around her. And so when she passes away, I'm like, oh, nobody's coming for Christmas. Nobody's doing Easter. Nobody's doing, it changes everything. So I can imagine if when your mom passed away that that would change none of the brothers, none of the aunts and uncles come either. It's nobody ever and in this day and age, family dynamics change so quickly, it seems. It seems like there was an old school tradition with in my grandmother's time. My mom isn't that way at all, but with my grandparents, about family gatherings and family meals and family time together, that it didn't matter how far away you went, you came back, or else you die. I don't know, you could get cut out of the will. She never did anything like that, but she sure held sway.
It's kind of like, there's it's kind of like I kind of feel like for my friends, I'm like the cruise director. It's like I'm the one that plans everything with my friends and stuff. My mom was like that with our family. It's like, she would plan things and this and that, and it would all like. Yeah, it's like she would plan things, and she made sure everything went off without. If like there was a party that we were invited to, she was the one that had to come and say, "Hey, we're doing this at Aunt Carol's for 4th of July," and blah 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 blah. You
Everybody
know,
better be there. You better and
yeah,
bring the kids and
yeah, stuff like that. So, but yeah, like once she passed away, it became pretty evident. It changed like overnight. Like it was just like
Oh,
all of a
yeah.
sudden it's like boom, this is completely different. And then like we try and like my ex and I, we tried to start new traditions, and that's just really freaking hard to do
It is. It is very hard.
whenever something that's that drastic of a change happens that quickly. And of course my mom like passed away right before Thanksgiving. And so Thanksgiving was the first holiday that
Oh, wow.
we had to deal with, and then you have to turn around and deal with Christmas right after that. It was brutal. It was a rough holiday season that year.
I can imagine. I really, I can sympathize. I can see how that would be. And the starting new traditions too. The only thing I was able to do, and my grandmother fought it. I did Christmas Eve with friends, and we still do that. I still have friends that they were in my wedding, and even they're like, well, what are you going to do when you get divorced? We don't hate each other. He'll just come. I don't know. We'll just figure it out, because this is a tradition, and I'm not going to like say, no, you can't. That would be weird. I'm not that person. So
It's like in like this, and of course, like this year, the first Christmas that I, post divorce, I'm trying to figure out, the schedule's weird. I can't remember. Oh, it's like I had them on Christmas Eve, and she had them on Christmas, and so it was like a weird thing. Like, it's like one of the things I wanted to do, because we kind of did it the year before, was there's an Alamo Draft House in the city where I live, and if you're not familiar with that chain, it's a movie theater where you can order meals, and they'll bring you your meal and whatever, So one of the traditions I wanted to start with the boys would have been like, hey, let's go to the Alamo Draft House. We'll go to do that for Christmas or whatever. Well, everything was shut down because of freaking COVID, so it's like we just kind of had a pretty boring little Christmas Eve here. So I don't know. It's like I'm hoping that this coming Christmas and stuff will be like a little bit more normal, just so we can
Oh, I'm so ready for COVID to be
start.
over.
Oh man, me too. I mean, it's practically in Missouri. It's practically over because it doesn't exist, and here apparently. So yeah.
Well, good. I'm glad it doesn't
Whatever.
exist there.
Yeah, whatever. Even though our governor had and survived COVID, he's still all Trumpy about it.
It's
You and your wife literally had this. Our numbers are down. It's like, whatever. Jackass. Anyway, but yeah.
I'm so glad you came on. So, what did you on the show, what did you learn from? I mean, if you could say you learned anything about being on Twitter and doing your log, did you learn any? I mean, there's got to be valuable takeaways from that. There's at least to me, there has to be.
Yeah, it's like for me, I learned that even though you may be lonely, there's people out there that are feeling the exact same way you are, and you never know what by sharing your experience, how it may touch other people, and that's a big thing where it's like I was surprised that people were like, they would message and say, keep doing these. They help so much more than you know. And that, I mean, that felt pretty good. And a lot of people were like, and of course, I talked about going through the divorce throughout some of those. And yeah, I don't know. And I don't know. It's nice. It felt good knowing that there were other people that, were feeling the same way I was.
And that's what, I talk to all kinds of people because stories, your personal story, your little story of just doing your online thing and sharing what you're, watching movies or what you were going through at the time impacted somebody, and maybe it kept somebody from falling off the edge. It created, and you ended up in these DM rooms, and you created a community around that you didn't even, you got friends out of that and a whole tribe of people out of from doing
Oh,
that that you,
absolutely. It's like I've
yeah,
got
they
way more legit friends on Twitter than I do on Facebook. It's like, I mean, it's like I've made some legit friendships through Twitter, and it's been freaking great.
Yes.
Really.
Yeah. I have met some amazing people on Twitter that just by talking and whatever. And so sharing your story, I love that you had this really positive experience. So many people are so afraid to just be real or honest or step out and not just share who they are, but share their ideas with the world because they're afraid of rejection. And I'm sure that happens. It comes, but if you do it anyway through the rejection, there's always this benefit. There's this beautiful thing on the other side. And I think you kind of found that.
Yeah.
And then you ended like up on, I love how you ended up on OnlyFans. I can't get over that.
I mean, it was never like, it was never my intention to end up there. It was just kind of like
I know it wasn't, which makes it even better. It's just part of the influence of Not Safe for Work Twitter, I guess. I don't know. But
Yeah, that's, I don't know how I ended up there, but I did. And it's all right. Nothing wrong.
It's okay. It's okay. Yeah, exactly. It's okay that you ended up there, that you found something, that you're finding community there too. It's all a process of living. There's so much to life that we get trapped up. I mean, you said you came from a Christian background, so you get caught up in doing things right and forget that, you know, living something sometimes isn't about doing things right. That because you can't predict. You can't, if you're always trying to do it right, you're going to be trapped in, you get trapped. You just you don't make mistakes. You don't step out. You don't learn who you are. You don't have any conflict that's just to make you a better person. So, you're just living. And that is awesome because, you know, after the pandemic, a lot of people are just like, I can't do this. And, you know, they just want to give up. And instead of that, you found a way to get through it all and build new relationships. And that's amazing. That's a powerful thing. That's an encouraging thing.
Yeah. It's like, I'm kind of anxious to see how once like COVID's over, like I'm a hugger, you know? And so it's like, I don't know. I want to hug people again.
Oh, me too. I'm going on a hug tour. I put it on Twitter. I'm like, okay, if I'm coming to your town, who wants to meet me? I'm hugging everybody.
There you go. It's like, I'm anxious to see how different society is after this whole thing is over, because I feel like it's going to be quite a bit different and it's going to take some adjusting.
I don't know. I'm kind of fearless that way. I think that if you're a hugger, you're not going to stop being a hugger. You'll just ask first, right? Yeah. You know, and that's not always a bad thing, you know, to ask first if your hug is wanted.
That's true. But I hug my friends a lot, so they know I'm a hugger. So they know I'm gonna hug them.
Yeah, so. You've been thinking about hugs for months. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
I talk about hugs. I just want a hug, please.
I'm a hugger and I'm a crier, so I'm gonna hug and I'm gonna cry while I'm doing it. There you go.
A lot of things. Hug and cry at the same time. Yeah. It'll be beautiful. Yes, consent for hugs, Reggie. Consent. You know, you got it. I have a oh, I'm not gonna say that. Never mind. But I met a hugger during pandemic, and you could tell we're just both huggers. I went to have something done, and she's like, I'm just going to hug you, okay? And I'm like, okay. So she got consent, and we hugged.
There you go.
And she was a stranger, but we were huggers. And it was, to not hug was really almost painful. So, because we felt like we had connected during our session. It was very weird.
But I bet it felt good, though.
Oh, it was wonderful. There are studies about brain energy and just energy that we put off. You know, they say whatever, that a human can light up a city. There's enough power in whatever, if you break it down in science. And I don't know the terms, but I remember listening somewhere that the power in a human body could light up a city or light up a nation. There's just so much energy. They just don't know how to harness it. So we have energy, and there's connection in with other people in that energy. It may not be it's not meant to be a woohoo thing. It's just a biofeedback thing. And I think that's why you go crazy when you're locked up alone, because you're not having some of that just being around other people, being able to touch other people. There's something in that. We're not meant to be in, you know, in capsules by aliens getting the life sucked out of us, never touching anybody. most of us sure. couldn't do that. We'd die. Yeah.
Yeah. You know? Well, and that was a big thing is like when I moved out on my own, I got my own place and everything. I'm just sitting here in my apartment working because we're still working from home. I don't know. They pushed us back to the end of May. So I would say by June, I'm probably going to be back in the office, which would be fine. Because I really miss my work friends and I really need that work/home separation.
Yeah.
Like, my commute is like 6 feet in the morning. And some days that is too far. It's too far. I don't want to walk. I don't want to stumble that 6 feet to that chair and start doing what I do. So
as a writer, I could totally, who writes from home, I can totally get that. I've heard people say, well, you need to get up, you need to get dressed, you need to get coffee, maybe walk around the block and then come back in the house and get your mind in that setting. And I'm like, oh, that's just so much effort today.
It is a lot of effort. Like,
why is it so much easier to go into work? I don't know, but.
Well, I mean, because I guess maybe, I think some of it's because it's like, you feel like you're doing something.
It's a mindset.
And for me, but like having that stupid work laptop staring at me right now is even bothering me. It's like I wish it was just like in my bag and I was going to pick it up and walk it out the door Monday morning. But no, it's staring at me right now.
It's like, it's the weekend too. And it's like waiting for you. You could work on me anytime. It's this constant stress. Oh gosh, that's horrible.
I'm sure I could find something to do, but it's like whatever. They're not paying me to work weekends. So
there you go. The work environment, the routines, that we all get used to the routines for, and then, you know, you sit here alone. The kid feedback too, not having the kids around, that is a whole different thing. I'm in a different state than my family. My ex is holding down the fort at the house because my mom is going to be 80. She's on oxygen. She's a little bit housebound and she wants to pick her test. She wants to pick her vaccine. So she's waiting I could strangle this woman. I'm like, Mom, anything will do. I'm not sure which one she wants, but she has it all planned out. So she's waiting till she can pick which one she wants. And so she won't, you know, on Easter, things are starting to open up. I went out to eat and I'm like, do you want to come? You could come. And she's like, no, I don't think I'm ready yet, but you could bring me back something. Fine, I'll go by myself because I'm getting out of the house. But I miss my kid, that, you know, just hugging on my kids every day. And I kind of miss the noise. It's a weird thing.
For me, it was kind of weird. It was weird. It's like, I'm not going to lie, I went on a lot of dates. From the time.
Yeah, you can date. What is that? I mean, come on.
Let me tell you. Dating is exhausting. I was so tired. It was like,
Where are you meeting people to date in real life?
It's Tinder and Bumble. Is it Bumble? I had a stretch where I went on like five straight days, five straight dates, five different women, and my God, I was tired. It was just exhausting.
First dates, performance anxiety. I mean, just the talking, the conversation, getting through that.
But it's like, for me though, it's like I wanted to talk to people for a while before I agreed to go out with them. And it was like kind of one of those things, like I put on my dating profile, like no Trump supporters. So that like narrowed down the field tremendously.
Yeah. Considering where you are.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. but I would always end up like, somebody would, you know, swipe right on me or whatever. And we'd start talking and then be like, oh, I just looked at your profile. Sorry, I'm a Trump supporter. It's like, that sucks. You were pretty attractive until now. But no, it's like, dating, it was exhausting. And so it's like, I have my kids, I have my kids half the time, and so the weekends where it was almost like the weekends I had my kids was almost like a relief because it's like, oh, thank God I don't have to plan something to do. It's like I don't have to try to get a date for Saturday night. It was just like we're just gonna
Just be home. I can
we
just
can
set up. No
I can
pressure.
stay home and I can break up the fights between the three of them, because I have three boys and they're 11, 9, and 7, and so my 7-year-old just goes between the 9 and 11-year-old pestering them, and
Oh,
it's just, I'm constantly having to break up fights. So
my boys got along pretty well. We're just too nerdy,
they'll
but
get along eventually. It's one of those things, like they'll get along eventually, and it's just like we had them close together, so because I wanted them to be like my brother and I, where
yeah.
we've formed a bond. Like I tell my oldest son all the time, when he gets frustrated with his little brothers, and I say, listen, your little brothers are going to ruin a lot of things for you. You just need to get used to it now. Just get used to it. Deal with it. You'll be fine. You know how I know? You know how I know? Because I lived it. I lived it. I couldn't go on dates in high school because I had to take my little brother everywhere.
My kids were too nerdy. They didn't date. And now they're in, and they would argue, the things they argued about were like math problems and games, game rules. You could spend an hour arguing over game rules that drive me. But other stuff they didn't argue about too much. Yeah, I lucked out. They're good kids. But they're not. Go
My kids are
ahead.
good. They're good kids, but man,
They're just
they get
more
annoying.
real. They're just more
Oh,
rambunctious.
yeah. Well, and then it's pretty obvious. It's like because I have them every Friday night, in the weekends that I have them, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday all day. But I take them back to their mom's around bedtime on Sunday night so they can get ready for school on Monday. And usually by freaking Sunday night, when it's time to go back to their mom's, it's like they're ready to get away from me, and I'm ready for them to go back.
We
It's
are
just like,
ready for
oh
this to
boy.
be over. Oh,
It's like
wow.
I need a break from you guys. You guys have yelled and screamed enough.
Oh, yeah, the yelling and the screaming.
Yeah, and like my youngest is the loud mouth, and
Seven
just like
is a fun age.
he just spouts so much stuff. And then my middle son's the well actually kid, and he's always like, well actually, blah 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 blah. And then my oldest will, shut up, both of you, just stop. But yeah,
Just be quiet. I'm
yeah, he's not. Yeah, my oldest is like, I just want to sleep all the time, and the other two are just, I don't know, they're just obnoxious.
They're just boys. I love
Yes,
boys.
they are. They're definitely
I love
boys.
boys. I love boys. Boys are fun. Boys are fun. Yeah, and letting boys be boys is a fun thing too. So, yeah. It's
I try to let them be boys. It's just, but at the same time, I'm kind of like, yeah, I don't know. It's just
Well,
hard
you
for
got
me.
to teach them the self-control too,
Yeah.
but you still got to let them be boys. There's that balance, isn't there? That with being a parent, it's like, okay, I don't want to let you turn you into anything but what you are. But listen, this self-control thing, every time you get angry hitting your brother, that is not going to work. So.
I mean, it's like you can't hit, it's like you can't, it's like, of course, but like my dad would always like he would always like kind of swat us. He'd be like, hey, knock it off. It's like I kind of do that, and it's like I know I shouldn't, but it's like I don't know, it's
Does
been
it work? I don't know.
sometimes Titus will like haul off and swat, and like try to hit one of them, and I'll wham, I'll like just like hit him in the arm, like stop it. It's usually when I'm driving, so it's like just knock it off, just knock it off. I've gotten that threat. I got that threat all the time. I'll turn this car around.
And you're thinking good, but you better not say that to your dad.
No. I never would have said that. Never would have said that. But like
No,
for them, it's like I don't know. I will say this about my kids. It's like they handled the divorce better than some of the adults in my life. Some of my
Oh,
adult, I mean,
wow.
they did such a good job. And I've told them that, you know, especially around like the holidays. And I was like, guys, listen, I know we've had a hard year, but I just gotta tell you, I am so proud of the way you've handled everything. Because
Yeah.
we moved to a new city, we moved to the new city, they're in a new school. You know, a lot changed for them, but they handled it so great. And I was so happy and proud
Wow.
of them for that.
Wow.
And it's like, I don't know. I try to tell them that stuff every
That's
so
good stuff
often,
to
just
tell
to,
them.
yeah, it's because
That's good
it's
stuff to
like,
tell them.
you know, I want them to know that. I mean, I don't know. It's like, my dad didn't say he loved us all the time, but we knew he did. Kind
Yeah.
of thing. And so it's like, I want them to know that I really do love them
Yeah.
and that, you know, I'm proud of them. And they've been so good throughout this whole thing. So
Yeah.
it's not, I've got three good kids and I'm pretty
That's
happy
pretty
about
amazing. That's
it.
good. That's really good. Yeah. My kids are like they were a little surprised, but at the same time they weren't. So, even though they're, although I've been informed I'm not allowed to date, so we'll see how
Oh, really?
that goes. But yeah, they're not quite there yet, so we'll see. It's I got time.
Yeah.
I got time.
Well, it's
I'm
like
not quite there yet either, so, but
it's
we'll
like
see how that
I
goes.
the girlfriend and she's all like, "Have you told your ex that you're dating?" And it's like, "No, but I'm pretty sure she's assumed that I am." But it's like I'm not ready to have that kind of conversation yet. And it's kind of like the thing now is like, when do I introduce her to my kids? You know,
Yeah,
that's the
that's.
next step. It's like, when does that happen? When does that it's like, I don't know. That kind of scares me a little bit.
That is a scary thing because introducing new people into your life that I know, yeah, I had a lot of experience with people coming and going, and you don't want to do that to your kids either. So,
No.
yeah, it can be that can be really hard. I have no, yeah, what would I even do? I mean, I almost may not date just to avoid ever doing that. No, and there, I don't know. You worry so much. The biggest part of the divorce was worrying about the kids. And,
Yeah,
after
trying to
staying,
make everything as cool as it can be for them.
exactly. I just did not want there to be any drama. I still don't. I just don't care about drama, even though they're older and my daughter's still in the house and, yeah, my oldest son's still in the house. He's pretty okay, but my daughter's had a little bit of a trouble. And mostly it's because she just did not expect it. She's like, I knew all this other stuff would happen, but and I knew that you weren't always happy, but I just never expected this. And I'm like, I know. And I wish I could make it easier for you. I really do, but I don't know how to do that. She was very proud to be 17 and have parents who were married. And then to find out, oh, wait. That was a big comeuppance for her. It was an issue. So, yeah, the kids complicate everything in life. In more ways
They
than one,
do.
don't they?
They do. I definitely try to tell my kids, like, hey guys, listen, don't have kids. Just don't. Just don't do it. Don't make me a grandpa.
Exactly. If you want to live, your life and do everything you want to do, yeah. You got to make that choice, man. And it's a choice, man. Do it, make it intentionally. Don't make it accidentally. Make it intentionally.
It's like make sure that that's what you really want.
That's what I tell my cat. I'm like, you better make this choice intentionally. There is no room for any accidents, boys. You got all the look. There's a whole store, and I do not care. Just make this choice very intentionally because
I am trying to write a book of advice for them.
are you really? How cool is that?
Well, I mean, a lot of it's dumb, but I think very good advice. Obviously, the no don't have kids unless you really want to. And if you do,
Love you
stop it.
guys a lot, but don't have kids.
Stop it too. And if you do have kids, if you do have kids, wait till I'm dead. I don't want to be a grandpa. Just wait till I'm gone. But like one of the ones, it's like I'm 6'2", 220. And I was like, boys, you're gonna be probably taller than me. You're probably gonna end up being like 6'4", and you're gonna be broad-shouldered beasts. Don't own a truck in your 20s because your summers will be all your idiot friends saying, hey, can I borrow you? Can I borrow you and your truck on Saturday and help me move? And I'll be like, and I go, and then they'll say, we'll buy you pizza. It's like, there's no pizza.
There's no
They're not
pizza.
gonna buy you pizza. It's like they're just gonna use you and your strength for and your truck to move them around. And it's like, don't own a truck in your 20s. That's one.
Best advice I've ever heard.
It's not bad. It's not bad. Another one. This one's a pretty good one. Is don't let a cheap person buy your ticket to an event where the seat matters. Because you're going to end up sitting above the speakers at a Dave Matthews Band concert and not going to be able to hear everything. I know
That's an
this from
important
personal
piece of
experience.
sounds like it. Yeah, sounds like very close up close and personal experience. You never let the
Very.
cheap person buy.
Never enough.
Oh no. Oh, we lost your mic. I see your comment there, six sheets red, Mr. Reggie. Nice to see you, that you're enjoying the convo, and that as a thrice divorced child and also
Oh,
divorced,
there
this
you
is a
are.
good chat. Would love to see that book come around. So would I. Are you back yet?
Well, yeah, sorry,
Oh,
my girlfriend.
there you go. Oh, phone call.
I got a phone call, but anyway, I'm back now.
We're gonna tie this up pretty close anyways, but I
Sorry.
need to hear more about this book. This is
Well,
gonna
it's
be.
like there's another one. This is another good story. So like I'm another piece of advice is like, listen, there's gonna be a, I said do not go on a vacation with your parents if you are over the age of 20. Do not do that. Because your parents' idea of fun and your idea of fun are two completely different things, and you're going to end up having a not so great time. And I'm going to tell you, and the whole preface will be like, listen, there's going to be a point where your mother is going to ask you to go on a vacation with us. This is, of course, this was before the divorce, but like, it's like the answer is always 100% no, we are not going, because it is, you're going to be miserable, we're going to be miserable, it's just not going to work. Not going to work. And I know this because I've done that and it was not fun. It was not fun. And it's like we ended up going, my mom and dad invited us to go get a beach house or something in Florida,
Oh no.
right, for a
And you
week.
were 20?
I was probably like, no, I had just been married, so I was about like 25 or 26. No,
Oh, but
about
still.
26. I was about 26. Five married couples in a house, right? Four bedrooms. And since we were the couple that had been married the shortest amount of time, we had to sleep on a hide-a-bed sofa for the entire week. So we were the last people to go to sleep, the first people to wake up, because everybody would come out and wake us up. And so the whole thing was like, my mom and dad had gone down there previous summers, and we're all like, oh, there's these restaurants here, these restaurants there. We'll go have lunch there. We'll do this. We'll do that. We'll do this. Well, the previous year, there's a big hurricane and it wiped out all those restaurants. So there were no restaurants. There was nothing to do but sit on the beach all day. And it's like, I don't know. It's like some people could enjoy that. I was like, I kind of want to go somewhere? And we had like carpooled down there, so we didn't have our own vehicle, so we couldn't like just like go somewhere. And it was on an island. It was just freaking miserable. And it was one of those like we got back.
Someone should
We
make a
drove.
movie of this because
Right, it was awful.
this sounds like talk about a Steve Martin movie.
Yeah. That's what it was like. It's like we got down there and we get down there and the house looked like garbage. It was just like not. It's like,
young, you're newly married, you're thinking,
yeah.
oh, we get a vacation.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like we didn't have to pay for it. And it was just like,
It's even worse. Because
yeah.
you're
And it's
thinking,
like,
we're gonna get something. We're gonna
we
get to
get, yeah.
have fun. We're gonna
We get down there and my wife at the time, we get down there and she says this fairly loudly because I was like a good like 2 3 feet away and I heard her and she goes, "We drove all the way down here for this." It's like and that was before we even walked into the house. It was like it was one of those, it looked awful on the outside, but it was super nice on the inside. I could not complain about the way it looked on the inside, but it was just looked awful on the outside, but it was really nice on the inside. And so for the old couples that they were like, "Oh, we're just gonna go sit on the beach all day." And it's like, don't wanna sit on the beach all day. I want to go do something, but then the funny thing is like we ended up coming back, and it took us 2 days to drive down there. But they decided, oh no, we're gonna drive overnight so we can get back on Saturday, so they could all go to church on Sunday and blah 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 and all that. The best day of my vacation was the day we got back, because
Oh no.
we had recently purchased a house and we didn't have any furniture in it. We had nothing in it. I think we barely had it painted. And we made a little bed out of a comforter because we got back at like 5 a.m. and we had been driving all night. We were exhausted. We went and we made a little bed out of our comforter. We slept for like 4 hours. And then we got up. We went back to our apartment that we were living in currently, and then we went and got pizza, and we went and saw Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire. That was the best day of the whole vacation. And we looked each other, and we both of us looked each other in the eyes, and we said, "Never again."
That is very good advice for you.
Cut to, I think my girlfriend's here. Hold on a second. But like I had cut to, whoops, well, I just heard a weird knocking. Maybe it's a ghost. Anyway, cut to 8 years later. One of the couples that went on this trip with us was our babysitter. And she comes, this is after my dad passed away. So 8 years later, we're there and she's like, my babysitter's like, "Your mom wants to go to back down to Florida with everybody again for, I don't know why.
She
I'm
had
not sure
just
why.
such great memories.
I guess for closure." And
Oh, so good for your mom.
I said, "No." I was like, "Well, I don't think that's a good idea." And I was like, "I said you'll have to talk to my wife about that," thinking that my wife would be on my side here. And then like cut to a couple days later, my wife's like, "Hey, did Ellen talk to you about going to down to Florida?" And I go, "Yeah, you told her no, right?" And she's like, "'Cause the answer is no. We said 8 years ago, we said never again."
Oh
And
no,
she's
Telly,
all
she
like,
said
she's
no.
uh, she's like, she's like, I gave her a list of demands." I'm like, "That is not no." I was like, "That is not no. I don't want to go on. I don't want to be stuck in the house with my brother and his wife for a whole week. I don't want to be stuck in the house with all of them. I don't want to be on a vacation with them, because that is not a vacation." And she's like, and
No.
she goes, so she gave a list of demands, like every couple will have their own room, every we are not going to be caravanning, carpooling all that down there. We are not everybody, we are going to go someplace where there are other things to do than sit on the beach all day. And all of those demands got met, and we went down there, and we kind of, I had a much better time, but everybody else apparently was not happy with that arrangement. So
Really?
yeah,
Your demands.
our demands that we have something to go do for the kids, just way out of line, way out of line.
Too much to ask. Too much to
Too much to
ask.
ask. Too much to ask. Well,
Oh, good Lord.
it was such a long walk to the beach. It was like 100 yards. And it's like on a boardwalk. And it's like,
No.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You had to walk a few extra feet to get to the beach. My bad.
Oh, Lord. That's
But yeah.
funny. That's hilarious. Well, at least
Yeah.
you got, some of your demands met, even
We
everybody
went.
else was miserable.
Everybody else was miserable, but I had a good time. I had a good
There you
time.
go.
We, and it's like, yeah, it was a pretty good trip. Other than, just being with all, it's like, even then, it's like, I'm there very much not like a church person anymore. And my antagonistic views about organized religion had already kind of set in. And so it's like,
Oh,
it's we're there. My family's like one of these people. It's like, when you go on vacation, you better go someplace where there's a church nearby so you can go on Sunday. Because you can't take a vacation from God,
no.
apparently. And
Apparently,
so,
God's not everywhere. He's only in the church.
apparently, it's like, you gotta be there.
You gotta be there. And
Yeah.
it
And
doesn't matter,
so,
you know. Yeah.
yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. And
Can't
so,
miss that.
yeah, so that was a big thing. So it's like, oh, it's just, yeah, it was
There's a
frustrating.
little tension
I mean,
there.
it was a good trip, but at the same time, it's a little frustrating for me.
I know a lady that she is this is just a neat family. They're just a crazy family. They made friends with everybody in their cul-de-sac, and they go on cruises together. I could not imagine doing that in a million years. There are a lot of people I like, but to go on vacations, they plan their whole vacation. They have block parties. A family will move out. They had a family, the wrong family that just didn't get them move in. It didn't last
Yeah.
very long. Somebody else new moved in. We all got along, And
Wow.
they're not church people, but they are the sweetest people. They're liberal. I don't know. They're just so clean. They're not safe for work Twitter people either. They'd probably be like, he has a what? But at the same time, they're just the neatest people. I don't know. All their kids play soccer. They're all in the same school, this, that, and the other thing. And but could you imagine going with your neighbors? That's a leap. I mean, maybe in the 70s when we were still young, and we stay out until
Yeah.
in the 80s and we stay out till the lights go off or whatever, when you knew all the kids on the block and that was a different thing. But I guess they just make their kids play together.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's
But
also, it's
yeah.
like, yeah, going, it's like, going on vacation with other people that's not fa that are not family members. That's just weird. I don't know. It's a little weird.
That's
So,
even a weird thing to you. See, I'm not the only one. I thought
yeah.
that was I think that's the most amazing thing to be able to do that. I don't, and even just another couple that if you are really good friends with them, there's just so many things. If you are a vacationer and you like to not plan, or plan things, but you have somebody you're with who likes an agenda, that's mad. That's a recipe for insanity right there. That's just misery and awfulness. So there are a lot of things when you're planning vacations with other people. I know it happens, but I think I could only plan it with a partner and the kids if I had to. Even the kids, oh good Lord, taking kids on vacation, it's supposed to be fun, but
It's not. It's not. It's like someone I heard someone somewhere say, if you're taking the kids with you, it's a trip. But it's like it's only a vacation if you don't have your kids. And it's like, and I've got three kids, and it's like, so, and I know that whenever I have, if like, if I only have one of them or just two of them, it is like a freaking vacation. It is so much easier
Yeah, the
when
dynamic
you're
is
missing
different.
just one. And it's like, it's insane. It was like my former best friend and his wife, it's like I love them, and even my ex and I were talking, and we're like, yeah, we should go on a trip with them sometime. And I'm like, really? And I go, like, really? It's like, here's what's gonna happen. And I said, his wife is gonna complain because we're walking too fast, or we're walking too much. She's going to have to stop and take breaks, and we are not going to want to stop and take breaks because, you know, our knees work better than hers. And this and then and it's like listed off all these things. She's like, yeah, you're right. That's a bad idea. It's like, right. I was like, really?
Exactly, that happens. You know, that's very much a part of it. We didn't vacation a lot with the kids. I just summers we're home. I'm like, okay, you can have whoever you want sleep over or sleep over at somebody's house and do that as much as you want because they're too much homework during the school year. So they did quite a bit of that, but we did not go places because I was a bad parent. I didn't enjoy it. It was just so much stress. Somebody was miserable the whole time or whatever. One of my kids is two of my kids actually are on the spectrum, so one of them hated new things. You taking that kid to any new thing was hell. So I just and you can't leave him out, you know, that's not. We just stayed home, had friends over. I'm just not gonna
It's like I never went when we were growing up. It's like I never went on vacations. I played baseball all summer, so it's like that was what we did. It's like we would travel, we would go to our baseball games, we would play baseball every Saturday, every Sunday, all summer long. But like we never ever went anywhere. The closest thing I had to a vacation growing up was I went on a band trip to Disney World once. That was it. And that would but that I'll tell you what, that was one of the best trips ever. I mean,
I know,
my
but you
trip.
turned out okay, even though you didn't get vacation. So, you know.
I mean, I got to walk around Disney World unchaperoned with
There you go.
friends. It was great.
Yeah,
It
that
was
would be
great.
fun. Being able to send my kids on a vacation, that's different. Me having to go with them.
Well, and
That's good.
my kids are going on a camp out here at the beginning of May, I think, somewhere at the beginning of May. And it was it was I don't know. I'm kind of excited about it. It's like, man, they're gonna get away from us for a week. They're gonna be away from me for a week, and it'll be interesting. It'll
It'll
be
be good
interesting.
if they have a good time. Yeah, it'll be good. I did a couple camps as a kid and it was great. Listen, I'm gonna have to let you go. Thank you for the
Okay.
great conversation.
Yeah, thank you for having me. This is a lot of fun. I hope it
It's
wasn't
a lot
boring
of
to anyone.
Oh, I don't care. I had a good time. It was really fun. It was great to talk to somebody else who's recently been divorced and just hear your story, you know, about sharing and how that was just such a positive experience. So I really enjoyed it. So thank you so
Well,
much for coming
thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
on.
I'll keep making the logs every once in a while. I just won't do them every day.
I hope so. I hope so. It'd be nice to see. You got to save something for Twitter. I mean, you can't put it all on
No, yeah. No.
OnlyFans.
I think the OnlyFans people are there for like a certain thing.
I've seen your fleets. So, fleet, I had no idea. Fleets are dangerous people. You just
Whew.
never know.
Yeah, I mean,
All they are
there.
not safe for work Twitter. I mean,
Whoo,
seriously.
man, it's like, especially with the circles I run in, some of them are pretty freaking great. They're a good pick me up in the middle of the day. It's like, oh, that's nice. Yeah, so
Oh,
cool.
I know what
Yeah.
I wanted to ask really quick. The DM rooms that you were invited to, were they set up by women, organized by women, or by men? It's just a theory I have. Do you
Mostly they
know?
were organized by women. It
Yeah,
was
that's
yeah, it's like I got asked by a woman to be in one, and I was like, "Oh yeah, sure,
Yep.
why not?" And then I got in there, and it's just like, "Wow, this is not what I thought it was going to be." And then but then I got ended up getting like other women that had their own DM rooms would pull me into those DM rooms. And so it was just like a weird, like, I'm not in any DM rooms right now. When I was in a lot of them, it was just like, people were like, "Hey, I'm gonna drop you into this room. This is gonna be fun." And this and yeah, it was a lot. It was a lot.
I've heard. I don't have one and I've not been in one, but I think that's kind of because women are the gatekeepers, and I necessarily they're just a unique thing, and I don't know that I would enjoy them as much as maybe you did.
Well, I mean, I feel like everybody in those DM rooms was having a good time. There was something
Oh,
for
I'm
everybody.
sure they were. I'm sure they
But it's like
were.
I have no problem with women being the gatekeepers. It's like I'll probably a whole lot safer that way. But
It
yeah, every one of
probably
them was
is.
a woman in
It's
charge.
just for me, just to it's just an interesting phenomena to me that women are the gatekeepers of most of the DM rooms. I'm sure men make them, but then they make them for other men and no women come. So
Well, that's the thing. It's like I'm sure there are, yeah, the DM rooms that are run by men are probably the grossest places on the internet.
because no,
Just
it is.
saying.
It's one of those weird social things. No, I couldn't imagine. It's like walking into a frat house alone. That I just don't know any women who you when you create it, you know who's there and you know what's happening. And so it would be a. That's why I think they're most of them are organized by women. So because it just makes them. They're the gatekeepers. They just know what's happening. So they don't want to walk into the frat house alone.
Yeah.
We
Well,
just don't know what's happening
yeah.
there.
It's like I definitely don't want to be in a DM room that's run by a dude.
There you go. Oh
Definitely
yeah,
don't.
especially, it might be, well, yeah, that would be a whole different thing. Anyways, I'm gonna let you go. Thank you for talking
Okay.
to me so much. You have a good
Yeah, thank
evening.
you for having me. You have a good one.
It was great. Good
Yep.
night.
Good night.
And I don't know about you, but if you guys listen to that whole conversation, I'm gonna turn the music on and say good night. I just want to say thank you so much, Captain Smirk, Mr. Smirk, for coming on. That was a great conversation. I really enjoyed that. Just for so many reasons, like your story and where the power of your story was and how it helped other people. And it wasn't ever so something that you expected to help other people. That's why I do the show, because stories build community, they build empathy, and they're important. And I enjoyed everything else. Thank you so much for talking to me. Thank you everybody for listening. Have a great night.